Good morning, good morning, good morning, family. My husband sent a text message out reminding everybody what they would be doing today from the team. And I saw that I was opening. And I, for those of you that don't know, I have an identical twin sister. And she is living with her husband over in the parsonage with us and her and him and Grandpa, Mike's dad. And she had foot surgery just at the end of the year, last year. And then a week and a half ago or so, she fell. The cast slipped out from underneath her and she broke her leg. So she is really suffering. And so her husband had, they go to church at Christian Life Center, and her husband had sound this morning, and he left very, very early. And so I had my clock set to get up, and the Lord woke me. If you want to say it was the Lord, I was having tummy issues, but I was awake like 30 minutes before my alarm ever even went off. There's this end of this story, I promise. Anyway, and so I've been battling this morning with feeling terrible in my tummy, but also wanting to help my sister before I left, because that would leave her by herself in a wheelchair. So I really feel that all of this worked together, because she was watching their service online and she screamed, "Get in here!" And I'm like, "Oh no, she's falling again." But no, she didn't. She goes, "You have to hear this, these two little girls that stepped up on the stage and they were singing two-part harmony. And over they kept singing, 'He is good. He's good. He's so good.'" And as I'm thinking about my morning, my night and my morning and how it all started, I have just been reminded, no matter what, no matter how my body feels, no matter how my twin sister looks with a cast and a splint and a boot and a wheelchair, He is good. He is good. He is so good. So this morning, as we lift our very praise to Him, don't worry about anybody else looking at you or looking around. You remember, He's good. He's good. He is so, so, so good. Amen.
Thank you. You never stop working. You never stop. You never Come on, church, let's declare this today. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop 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 working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Yeah, you are, you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness,
my God. That is who you are. You are, you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper.
So good.
Oh. We can lift our hands in heaven for
were met by love. We can lift our hands to heaven full of faith. Cause every time we worship, we see your face.
Revelation 4, it says that the elders continue to cast down their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." You guys, it's only by his will that we're here today. And what a blessing that we get to be here to praise him and to worship him freely. We don't have to be reserved. We have freedoms here that allow us just to pour out our heart before him undignified. And so right now, if you guys would just take the next few minutes with me and just begin to lift up. If you have a heavenly tongue, just begin to pour it out. If you don't, that's okay. Begin to just give him his glory. We talk about his glory. What is his glory to you? Pour it out before him. Let it be an incense before his throne. Yes, God. Yes, God. You are amazing, Father. Lord, I thank you, God. Oh, for being so intentional, Jesus. God, you sent your son so that we could have freedom to praise you without an interpreter, God. I just thank you, Father. You are holy, 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 holy. Just shout that out. Holy, 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 holy. You are holy, 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 holy. Thank you for the breakthroughs that are happening in people's lives right now. Father, I thank you that the strongholds are coming down. God, I thank you that we get to spend this time together just worshiping you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God, for giving us the breath in our lungs so we can pour it back out to you, God. Lord, I thank you that you love our city. I thank you that you love this church. I thank you that you love these people. God, I thank you that you call us by name and that you know us to be sons and daughters, Father. Jesus, I thank you for this time. We worship you. We praise you. We lift you up. You are matchless in every way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, worship team. Why don't we give them a hand, a round of a hand, a round of applause? Woo! Woo! Yeah! Man, our worship team is amazing. I just love that they're dedicated. They're here every week. They continue to play and play so that we can pour our hearts out. What an amazing gift we have to have them. I love that you guys are patient with me, too. Why don't you guys take the next few minutes to greet one another if you haven't been able to do that yet, and get some coffee or refreshments that are over in the next room over, and we'll see you in a minute.
You can leave that one up, Caden. We'll talk about that for a quick second. Good morning, church. Let's find our seats. So no events or anything coming up as of yet. I'll just briefly talk about our between Sundays, what we have going on. I guess this isn't between Sundays anymore because it happens on Sunday, but our youth nights are on Sunday nights. Between Sunday mornings. So our youth nights are Sunday nights, and from 6:30 to 8:30, and we just have a great time hanging out with youth students every week. And we're growing, and so God's doing something amazing in the youth of our church. A lot of these youth, you know, they go to different churches or don't go to church at all, but they make it a priority to come to youth on Sunday nights. And so God's doing something really, really cool there. And so if you know a youth or hear of a youth, you know, send them my way. We'd love to have them. Be praying for us. Be praying for what we're doing down there every Sunday night. So women's group, Gayleen hosts a Zoom meeting every Tuesday. And right there's her number. So if you aren't involved in this, make sure to contact her and she can get you connected with that. And they have a great time. They do a Bible study and it's amazing, as well as Pastor Mike on Wednesdays at 7. That's his number as well. So you can get a hold of him and they'll hook you guys up with that. And it's an exciting time. Amen. Awesome. Let's do the Heart of the House declaration. So if you guys would stand with me, this is a new declaration that we as a staff came together. And we just wanted to make some declarations that were personal, some declarations that were about us specifically. So go to that first slide, Caden. So we're going to do this in unison. Let's say it loud and proud with all of our heart on three. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel and he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the house of God that you have us in, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you, Lord, for our pastors. I thank you, Jesus, that you're doing something mighty, Lord, today, Lord, and every day, God. And I just bless, Lord, this place and every person that calls this place home. We thank you, Jesus, and I declare it as holy ground.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
I love those declarations because it says we have power of life and death in our tongue. And if we speak life, there is life.
Amen.
And life more abundantly, it says in John. So I really love those declarations, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
Amen.
Woo!
I just wanted to say how good last night's Saturday night prayer was. And we haven't done one for a while. We were doing them once a month. We may get back to doing that, but it was an amazing time, especially the last hour. We just went through all the prayer needs and really felt that God was moving on all those situations, like you said, declaring over those circumstances, those needs, the, as Nancy wrote down, Papa's heart for all of those situations. So praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So today we're going to talk about, communicate this thought, turning despair into hope. It's not necessarily turning despair into, or mourning into dancing, but it's about, no matter what our circumstances look like, no matter what kind of situation we find ourselves in, that through a process of, well, we'll see the process, few steps, we can get to a place where we're starting to have hope again. Mm-hmm. Maybe not necessarily see all the light of day, but start to develop a hope. And this all came from reading the book of Jeremiah and Lamentations, and particularly in the middle of Lamentations, chapter 3. We see the prophet Jeremiah, first of all, declaring the situation that he's in, the way he's feeling. But then all of a sudden, he goes through a step where he realizes that he can change. He can change his heart. Maybe not the circumstances at the time, but change his heart. Let's go and read these first. I think they're...
But isn't that the first step to wholeness, is declaring, when he started to declare...
Who God is.
Who God is.
Exactly.
That's the beginning of hope.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because basically faith... is what the evidence of things, the evidence things, now I know it. Come on, somebody.
Faith is a substance.
Substance, there we go. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So to have faith, you have to have something that's a catalyst, and that's hope. You have something, trust and confidence in God that you can see beyond today.
Amen.
Let's read this. This is pretty grim. Right off the bat, so
and it
brace
actually,
yourselves.
It actually goes through 20 for this first reading.
Right.
Lamentations 3:13 through 20. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver.
Holy cow, right there. He drove He drove into my kidneys. In other words, the very depth of my being, I feel this pain.
Yeah.
That's happened to me.
I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long.
And this was his life. He was one of the youngest called prophets, Jeremiah, and he was ridiculed. God told him to tell the people that Israel was going to be, that Judah was going to be judged, Jerusalem was going to fall. They had been serving idols for so long, and yet they just laughed at him. They didn't listen to him. Some would, but then other situations would come along and they would quit listening to him. And then, well, as we see, destruction continues to come. Verse 15.
He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood.
16.
He has made my teeth grind on gravel, ugh, and made me cower in ashes. My soul is... what's that word?
Bereft.
Bereft. My soul is bereft of peace.
In other words, my peace has left me.
Yeah. I have forgotten what happens.
What happiness is. There we go.
So I say, my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wood, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me.
Are you encouraged? Of course we're not encouraged. But this was Jeremiah's life. He saw the beautiful place where he grew up destroyed in front of his eyes. He saw the, as this is called, Lamentations, the destruction, and he lamented all over it. And that's what he's doing right here. He's in a state of a pity party, folks. He's seeing all of what life has brought him, and he's now at this place where it's like, oh, I mean, I think, I can't remember if he's one that said, he might be one of the prophets that said, oh, that I was never born because of what I have to see. I mean, he's lamenting what he's had to go through. But even this individual who really hasn't seen much good in his life, Jeremiah, he is known as the weeping prophet, because he cried over what happened to his people. He cried over what happened to Jerusalem, over Judah. He cried over their loss, mm-hmm. their loss of everything, taken into captivity.
Right.
It was brutal what happened to Israel and Jerusalem at this point. Just give you a little bit of an idea. He was put in prison twice for his prophecies, for his declarations that the Lord told him to do. There was one time he was told to write an entire prophecy that had multiple pages, had tons of information. He had his scribe write it down, and it was pages and pages of a prophecy that was warning Jerusalem, warning Judah to turn from their ways. And the priests, they read it, and they go, oh, my goodness, we got to show this to the king, and their hearts were starting to turn. Get this, the king takes it, and he has the pages read to him one at a time. And he takes each page after it's read by the priest, and he burns it in a fire.
Wow.
Every single page is burnt. There's nothing left of it. And so they come back, and they say, well, the king burnt everything. And the Lord tells them, rewrite it again. Mm-hmm. And they rewrite the whole thing again. I mean, wouldn't you say, Lord, I mean, why am I going to do this? He's just going to burn it again. But he was obedient and verbatim wrote that prophecy again. I mean, that would be disheartening, wouldn't it? To know that the Lord's giving you a word to speak and it's totally rejected, it's burnt up in the fire.
Yeah.
Toward the end of his time, when things were really, really bad, when they were having famine and there was no food, the Babylonians had blocked the lines, and so it was like at the end of the, almost the end of the, I guess you could say the siege on Jerusalem. They take him, another priest, has him thrown into a cistern. This used to be like where wastewater would go, and it's almost dried up. But he goes down in up to his waist in this. Fortunately, a few people, I believe the Lord inspired them, pulled him up. But I mean, it was a tough life for this prophet. How many want to be a prophet after that? Anybody? Any takers? Well, he turned this moment around. Maybe it was for a moment. I don't know how long he kept this in his heart. But his first step was this. He remembered, he recalled, or brought back into his mind the Lord and his divine character. So when you're in a place of despair or when you're seeing situations, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring for our lives. All of us right now seem to be living wonderful lives, right? We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We could be in a place of despair. And so I want to remind us what we can do to start receiving hope back into our hearts. First thing is to recall the divine character of God, his nature, who he is. Now, it's hard to recall it if you don't know his nature, if you don't know his character. And what you need to have that happen is start asking God to reveal himself to you in a new way, not the way that maybe you were taught as a kid or your religious understanding brought to you, but the reality of who he is. Because number one, he's love. Mm-hmm. He is unshadowed, unwavered, unrelenting love. Love that encompasses all of our existence. We live because of his love. Some would say we live because of his mercies and grace. Well, his love is encapsulated in mercy and grace. Or mercy and grace and all of who he is encapsulated in love. Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at what he first does here. In verse 21, go ahead and read those.
In the ESV it says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." All of them?
Mm-hmm.
CJB, what is that?
Complete Jewish Bible.
But in my mind, I keep returning to something that gives me hope, the New Living Translation. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this and the message. But there's one thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope.
One other thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. What is he saying here? He's saying, I just told you these last... however many verses was, 8, 9 verses, how bad things seem to me, that arrows have pierced my kidneys, that I'm as bitter can be, that bitterness is in my soul, that I'm in pain. You know what? I think of your family right now, Lil and Esther. I think of how you're feeling. And I'm sure there's some of that going on in your heart right now. Anytime we suffer loss, it's so hard. Matter of fact, I feel that right now we need to just pray for that family. Father, we just, those of you that can just gather around them, Father, we just lift Lil and Esther and the sisters and anyone else in that family, Lord, that is experiencing this loss of Ricky. Father, we just ask right now what the enemy has meant for evil here, that you would allow good to come.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, that you would just give them your peace, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Father, we just pray right now, Lord, that you would just allow them to see, Lord, beyond this moment, Lord, your glorious hope, your glorious hope for tomorrow. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that you would just allow hearts to come to you, Lord, that need you desperately. Lord, that they would be able to receive what they need right now in this moment. And Lord, that you would turn this time of despair, Lord, into a moment of hope in their lives, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Call to mind. Return something in my memory. Now, again, you have to have these things at least where you've read them, at least where you've understood them. You've had a revelation of these truths before you can remember them. Or at least maybe you have someone that comes into your life that speaks these.
Yeah.
Or you're able to speak them into someone's life. Not telling people, you know, oh, don't feel this way. You're a Christian. You don't have to feel this way, you know. we feel as we feel. I mean, you can't stop that.
Right.
If our heart's heavy, it's heavy. You can't just turn a switch and change that. Grief is something real. But we don't as Christians grieve at those who have no hope.
Right.
We have hope. Yeah. We have an eternal hope. It goes beyond this moment. And we need to remember that. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, I keep returning to something. Keep bringing it up. Mm-hmm. I believe the Holy Spirit was working in him, bringing these things up. Mm-hmm. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. If nothing else, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of the moment to you.
Right.
That no matter what it looks like right now, how dark, how without a door that's open, that God can put something in your heart that can bring hope, that door will open, or a door will open, or that light will shine in our darkness. Amen?
But it appears as if Jeremiah doesn't have anyone to remind him. So he has to remind his own soul. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't have anybody in our life that will do that. Sometimes we think, oh, she's been a Christian or he's been a Christian for years. They know the word. They know all of the things, all of the right things to do and say. So they're okay. I don't need to do that. But I'm going to tell you that that's not always the case. And if the Lord is putting it on your heart to remind somebody, go to them and remind them of the goodness of God in their life. But if there's not, we have to remind our soul of the goodness of God. This morning as I was opening and I said, you know, I woke up with a little tummy issue. My twin sister has a broken leg and an operated foot. I was helping her because her husband had to leave early for his service this morning. So I had to remind my soul, he is good. He is good. He is so good. And I reminded myself. And in that, I was encouraged. So we need to do that sometimes. Sometimes there isn't anybody that will remind us. I'm sure like the sisters all going through the loss of a sister, they're all grieving. So they're probably not reminding each other, God is good. You know, God is so good. But sometimes it has to just be us. We have to remind ourselves. And that's what Jeremiah is saying here.
Yeah. I do want to add that I've had this message for 2 weeks. This didn't just come up, you know, last night because of circumstances. This was already on my heart.
Wow.
So the Lord knows.
Yeah. Amen.
Step two, turning despair into hope, remembering his unfailing love and mercies are never ending. That he hasn't run out in any way of what we need of his grace, of his mercy, of his love. They're always available. And as we'll see in a moment, they're new every single morning.
Lamentations 22-23, ESV. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. New Living Translation, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning.
The steadfast love. I love this. In other translations, it may seem mercies. It may say, I think another thing, maybe graciousness. But to me, steadfast love really says it all, is that when something's steadfast, it can't be moved. It can't be shaken. It can't be altered. And we need to think of God's love as that way. The best way that I could describe to understand God's love is if we have a perception that we're not loved, or we haven't earned his love, then we're always going to be trying to let something replace that in our lives. We're going to desire something to fill that place of love. You know, it's been said that our heart has an empty hole when we come to Christ, and it's meant for it to fill that heart. Yep. And I believe, even before I was saved, that was that hunger that was in me. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I receive salvation, I'm thinking that, oh, I'm receiving salvation. I'm not going to go to hell. It wasn't God's desire just for me to not go to hell. It was for His desire for me was to receive His love. Because if I receive His love, it wouldn't be that I was just afraid of hell. I'd have no desire for hell. It wouldn't be that I would have to stay away from sin. I'd have no desire for sin. Because His love fills that place of other things. Mm-hmm. You know, the Apostle John says a radical statement. I wonder if he ever told the other disciples, you know, Peter, I know you have a close tie with Jesus. It seems like it from the scriptures that we're writing that you're His number two. But I just want to let you know, I'm the disciple that Jesus loves. Peter, like, no, he loved. I'm just telling you, I'm the disciple Jesus loves. He had that in his heart, that he was the disciple that God loved. I used to go around for a while when I was trying to get this truth in me that I'm just loved, and that's all I really need in my life. That no matter what other circumstances may show, that I'm loved. That there's one that loves me no matter how I act, how I've acted, how I will act. He just loves me. So I used to go around, remember, I'd say, I'm the pastor that Jesus loves. It was the way that I started to remind myself, you know. I'm the pastor that Jesus loves. I'm a child that Jesus loves. But making it personal helps. You know, this thick skull of ours, sometimes things don't get through. And we have to really get it in our hearts. And sometimes that means confessing to the place to where we finally believe it. And it took me a couple years to finally believe it, that I'm loved, period.
But you're speaking those things out, and you're bringing life to your very soul.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the difference, is that at the beginning of these scriptures in Lamentations, he is thinking all of these things about the bitterness.
He's remembering
about
what he saw.
Yes, and he's thinking them, and it's just running rampant in his head. Like he is, like, got this, he's chewing it over and over and over again. But when he begins to speak it out, it's almost like, have you ever heard the thing that if you're crying and you don't want to cry, you can drink a glass of water because water in stops water from coming out? I learned this in a class that I took many, many years ago, and it was especially for women in business. I was, because you would get called into the boss's office and your first thought is, I'm in trouble, oh no. And then those tears start to build up in your eye. Well, they told us in this class, take a glass of water or a bottle of water with you. So therefore, when you felt like you were getting ready to tear up, take a little sip of water, because water in doesn't let water come out. Well, when you're speaking life out of your mouth, it's almost like your brain stops.
Amen.
Because you're listening to what you're saying, and your mind's not rolling around that negative stuff. So if you're not speaking it out loud, you need to start doing that. Because you spoke life over mm-hmm. yourself.
Amen.
And it took 2 years, and he was speaking life. And I would say, there he blows again, like he had walked through the house. I'm the pastor the Lord loves. I'm the man the Lord loves. I'm the child the Lord loves. And he would say it all day long. But finally, what he said, speaking life out loud, he believed it deep in his heart. And this is what's happening with Jeremiah here. If you read it, he is going from thoughts to speaking and speaking life, and his thoughts are stopping.
Yeah, yeah. Moses, go ahead and come on up.
Is it working? There we go. Thank you.
God bless you all. This has been on my heart for a long time, you know, and we think of God And can God be measured? No.
No.
His vastness is renewing every day, every day, every day. You look at the scriptures, his faithful. His mercies never cease. And I always go back to a simple verse that we've learned. God is love. It's never ending. It's God.
Come on.
It's God. It grows every day. Our minds cannot comprehend or measure it on our God's love. And this is a simple verse. I've talked about it many times where that simple verse is on my father's tombstone. Mm. Dios es amor. It was funny because that was one of the first things that we would learn as a kid. You know, I remember coming up in church, you know, and then I got more nervous because after the song that we'd all sing, everyone had to say their own verse that we knew. And I tried to get on the first over there so that I'd be the first one to call, God is love, Dios es amor. And then the next one would be John 3:16, of course. But not understanding, now I understand what that verse means. It's so powerful. It's so powerful because it grows every day. It's limitless.
Amen.
We cannot comprehend it. We don't, our human minds and cannot comprehend that. But we know what it is. We feel it in our hearts. It comforts us when we need comforting. The Bible says, mourn with the ones who mourn. It is hard. It's not easy, you know, to mourn. You know, I've lost family. I've lost two brothers, you know. Yeah. And I still remember them, you know. But God is good.
Amen.
God is good. So that verse became more meaningful in my life. I learned, it's simple. God is love.
Yes,
it's powerful, though, when you come to understand what it means. It's limitless. We just think of it, oh, love, like in our own minds and our own thoughts. But it's not. It's limitless. Our minds cannot wrap around that. But just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Moses. Hallelujah. Yeah, his mercies, they're new every morning.
Yeah.
We need to remember that no matter what yesterday looked like, or how about this, what's going on today, there's tomorrow, and there's going to be fresh mercies. It's going to be fresh abilities for us to receive his love. And remind yourself of that, because it stirs hope in you that tomorrow doesn't necessarily have to be like today. And it doesn't have to be like 10 years ago. It can change.
Amen. It should change.
It should change.
And if we look back 10 years ago and we don't see ourselves having changed, that's the big clue that the Lord has called us to something more and we should want more from
Amen.
Him. So
that's good. Step 3. Remember, the Lord is your inheritance. This is a hard for some of us to realize, because we think of heaven as someday is going to come. We think of eternal life as something we're going to experience when we stop breathing. But it's actually something that we have access to right now. That as I like to say, that you are his. In other words, the Lord owns you. But in reciprocal, he is yours. He didn't make a covenant just one-sided. Yeah, you're mine. You got to do whatever I say and, you know, be whatever I want you to be. But no, he made a covenant and said, you're mine. But on the other side of that, I'm yours. Yeah. Child, when I call you by your name, it means that you are mine. But it also means that I am yours. I mean, it's never with a father that the father's just the father to the son or the daughter, right? No, the son and the daughter are also possessive of the father, right? They want the very best for them, hopefully. In reciprocation, And I know it's hard for us to understand. Wait, he's God. He created everything. How could he have done that where we literally have access to him as a word possessor is difficult, but it truly is the best word because we have a part in him. Before we knew him, we lived and moved and had our being in him. Before we knew him. But now it's he lives and moves and has his being in us. Do you guys realize that when you came to God, it changed a dynamic of the kingdom of God? That another expression of God was able to be seen on the earth that wasn't able to be seen before. That literally you made a difference in the kingdom of God.
That's beautiful.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
That as we receive Christ in us, a new dynamic and dimension of Christ is being revealed to the world. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we have an opportunity to display a character and nature of God that maybe no one else can, because he made us to be vessels of a certain type of character and nature.
Right.
And, you know, some of his temperaments. Right. But all of that is to show part of who he is. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes we do a poor job of that. Anybody? Ooh, yeah. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can be changing from glory to glory.
Right.
You know, we sing that song, Met by Love. Love met us.
Yeah.
In the person of God met us. And it changed us. Whether we know it or not, it changed us. And whether as much as God wanted to change us has happened yet, it has changed us. And we are new creations. Amen. Here's a few verses.
Lamentations 3:24, ESV, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. NLT, I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. And the ERV says, I say to myself, the Lord is my God, and I trust him.
This, keep in mind, these last three verses that we've read are directly following those first eight or nine verses. He's recounting, he's remembering who God is. And I would venture to say that if you saw his face when he was writing the first part, it was probably, ugh. But as he wrote this, I could just see all of a sudden his countenance changing and remembering that tomorrow God's going to be doing something and remembering, you know, the hope that's going to come to Israel or to Judah after the 70 years of captivity. Because he was a prophet that prophesied that. He's remembering, and he's remembering that God's good. He's the same prophet that declared Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I say about you, declares the Lord. Plans of what? Plans not to harm you, plans not to hurt you. God did not
hope in a future.
God did not enjoy the judgment that he brought to Jerusalem and Judah and Israel. He did not enjoy it. He would have rather had them stay close to his heart. But as you guys have all seen, people are are wicked. The heart can be eternally wicked if we're not submitting to God. I've had people that one day they're rejoicing at the altar and they're praising the Lord, and I mean they're into God and they're enjoying him, and the next day they're cursing him. It happens because we try to make this Christian walk a temporary moment. You know, I'm a Christian mostly when I'm at church on Sundays. That's when you get probably my best behavior. You know, Monday it's carrying over a little bit, and I'm still kind of nice to my coworkers and people as I'm driving down the street. I'm not running them over yet. But by hump day, look out. Don't get in my way. No, that's not the way it should be. You're not all getting plugged into some kind of, you know, IV or therapy that gets you through the week till next Sunday.
You're not Tesla that's plugged in, and when you unplug, you lose battery.
Exactly.
Battery.
Yeah. At least it shouldn't be that way. You have the kingdom of God within you.
Yeah.
Don't start driving to church. We're getting closer to the kingdom. Because Jesus said, listen, the kingdom's not something you're going to see. You know, it's not a place. The kingdom is not, you know, all of a sudden, you know, on its way. The kingdom was within them. He wanted to remind them the kingdom was within them. And that's before he even went to the cross. He's telling them the kingdom of God's in them. I believe from Adam to the very last one of us, the kingdom of God's always been in us. It's just we didn't know how to find it. We didn't know that even though it looked like Adam and Eve were cast out and have no relationship, we got to remember Enoch, somebody that knew different. Oh, well, he was just special, Pastor Mike. You know, he was the seventh from Adam, you know, and he had these special numbers which made him, well, maybe he was special, but he still knew there's still a relationship to have with God, and he walked with God, and he walked so close to God that what? God took him before anyone else had ever been taken. Moses, Elijah, Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him.
And Enoch was no more special than we are.
No,
it says that
special.
Everybody has that kind of kingdom within them. But he knew it, and he lived it, and he walked it. So we can live it, we can walk it, and we can know it.
Well, especially with the Holy Spirit in us, especially with the work of the cross now being fully evident to us, we should be little Enochs walking all over the place.
Come on now. That's good.
That God's just waiting to pull up. I'm ready to get you up here, because I love spending time with you, but I just want to spend personal time with you. Pretty radical thinking. Yeah, I know. But we are radical beings. We are not just people walking around barely existing. Maybe we look like that, but that's not the truth.
Right.
The truth is we have the full deposit of heaven, the kingdom of God in us, the Holy Spirit, all of God in us, and we can live like we're different.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are different.
So this guy you see right here, This dude, he's my honey. This is who I get at home. This is the same guy I get at home. He's no different. And I say that all the time when we're talking to couples and all that stuff. This guy that you see here in church is the same man that I live with in the house. And the reason I know that, he is always trying to get himself better in God. He really encourages my heart, and he sets a fire underneath me because this same intense guy, let's shaking his head and yeah, he does that to me, and I'm like, whoa, dude, that's really a lot. But he loves the Lord so much, so it's something that I can aspire to be like because he has put in the work. When he first came to the Lord, the very first year he came to the Lord, he read so. How did you read through the whole Bible the first year?
I don't know. I just read a lot.
He read the Bible all the time. Bible was open everywhere he went. He read the Bible all the time, and he memorized chapters of the Bible. And so when Eric and I talk and we say, "Where's that scripture?" Ask Mike. He'll know. He's a walking Bible. He'll say, oh, that's found in da, 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 da. And we're like, okay, but we want to be like that. Well, how do you do it? You recognize the kingdom's in you. Jeremiah doesn't have any more than we do. Enoch doesn't have any more than we do. In fact, we have more.
We have more.
We have even more. Are we living like the more is there? And I'm telling you, don't say, oh, I've got special circumstances and you know, it's really hard to live this life. And I agree, this life is really hard. This life totally sucks. However, we're not to live as if we don't have a hope. We're not to mourn as if we don't have a hope. We have a hope in Jesus. So we can actually be heaven on earth. When he said walking around like little Enochs, he meant it. But it's not little Enochs. It's bigger Enochs because we have more than he did.
Amen. That's good. That's good. What? Do you have something?
I do.
Oh, come on up. We don't want you to...
Yeah, we have freedom up here, y'all.
Yeah, you're not to...
now I'm going to laugh, but I was thinking earlier about how, of the word responsibility, and how that sounds like a scary word, like it's your responsibility to work on you and, you know, be more like Jesus, or ask him how to be more like, you know, how do I be more like her, or whatever that is. But don't look at it as a responsibility in that sense. It's a joy.
It's a joy.
It's a joy to want to be more like Jesus.
Yes.
So that, like I said last week or a couple weeks ago about being tainted, you want whatever you're living, be living that. Not, oh, I better do it like this because, you know. And it's okay to be sad sometimes. It's okay to be upset sometimes. It's okay to be mad sometimes, but get through it. Because while you get through it, people can watch that too and see that too. And then, okay. So don't look at being right before the Lord as anything but a joy.
Yeah.
You know, I say this to my own self. I have to say, you know, and life is tough. But it's tough for somebody else too. I mean, other people have toughs all over the place. So anyway.
Amen.
No, that's good, Debbie. And that reminds me, when you were saying, we need to get to step four, but when you were saying that there was such a love for the Lord, which is true, and it comes out for love for his people, it comes out for love for even the lost and for those that are completely rebelling against him. I have a love and a desire. I mean, I always, you know, when I was first saved and there a while in the middle of my Christianity, I started thinking, yeah, all those people that don't receive Christ, they all deserve to go to hell. You know, they've earned it. They deserve, and it was, you know, it was very childish thinking. Now my it's like, oh Lord, is there any, do you have any way to make it so that they don't go to hell? And if they do, can it just be for a short time? Because I know if they really receive your love, they will change. You know, that's my heart. You know, I'm not God, so I mean, but I'm telling you, the closer I've gotten to God, that's my heart. And me being wicked, if I have that kind of heart, what do you think the heart of the Father's like? That is pure love. He desires that none would perish. And that's why I got saved. That's why I was able to receive him. Because he desired that none would perish, including Mike Lindell. But I'm telling you, I love him because he first loved me. That I think this way now because I went around saying, I'm the pastor Jesus loves. I'm the son that Jesus loves. God loves me unconditionally. And as that happened, is that truth, renewing my mind by speaking it out loud, guess what? I was met by love. I was never the same. I mean, I got saved and I was never the same, but when this happened to me, I've never been the same. I'm able to stand in places where I would have crumbled before. You know, remember John, the apostle, was the only apostle standing at the foot of the cross. He was able to stand because he was loved. He didn't see just the hopelessness of the moment. He saw the love of God, and he was able to go through that moment.
Step four is remember that continuing to seek and wait on the Lord will eventually bring breakthrough to your life.
Amen. Go ahead and read the verses and we can be.
Lamentations 25:26 in the ESV. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And in the Message it says, God proves to be good to the man who passionately waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. It's a good thing to quietly hope for help from God.
Let's turn despair into hope.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, Lord, for this time together. Lord, I pray, Lord, for anyone who's hearing this, anyone, Lord, that this message is communicated to and they find themselves in a place of hopelessness, a place of despair. Father, ask right now, Lord, that you would help them to remember who you are. And if they don't know who you are, Lord, that you would bring yourself to them and reveal your love to them in a way that transforms them and changes them from the inside out. And that they would realize, Lord, that there is a new day coming and that your mercies are new every morning. And that we can trust you, Lord, with our lives 100%, no matter what they look like. That you have the very best in store for us. So even if the enemy meant something for evil, you would intend it to be made good in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Continue to remind us, God, of all you continue to do for us. That old saying, count your blessings, would not be lost on us, God. But we would remember the goodness that you've been over our lives. Jesus, I pray for every person in this place today. Every person that watches us online, whether it's today or a later date, that we would just encounter your presence, God, as we go out into our week, God. Let's just bless every family here, God. Every marriage here, God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this house, for what you're doing here, Lord. For the word that our pastors shared today, God. For the time that we got to worship you, Jesus. And we just declare your goodness, God, over our lives. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Love you guys. Have a great week.